Hello and welcome to the Pain in the Arsenal podcast. My name is Andrew Dalbo. I'll be here with Josh and Henry discussing all the good and bad about Arsenal Football Club. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome to the bonus episode of the Pain in the Arsenal podcast this week. I've got Josh with me here again. Henry unfortunately can't be with us, but we think he'll be with us in the new year. Obviously, schoolwork and family time sometimes have to come first, so we wish him well in all of that. Josh, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well as you can do after watching Arsenal and West Ham for 90 minutes where just about nothing happens.
Yes. I saw a fantastic tweet. I can't remember who it was by. I think it was by a London Evening Standard journalist who said that the Arsenal game against West Ham last week was the worst game that he's seen all season until the Arsenal-West Ham game that he saw this evening.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty spot-on depiction of the absolute boredom that went on in both games. Nonetheless, we shall divulge into the details of Arsenal's 1-0 win in the Carabao Cup quarter-final. They're into the semi-finals of a competition that they haven't won since 1993. They've actually only won it twice, the other time being 87. It's the only domestic competition that Wenger has never won. So I think there is an element of significance to it, really. Is that something you'd agree with?
Yeah, at this point, I feel like any trophy is going to be significant. I mean, I can't sit here and say that I look forward to the day when we'll win another Carabao Cup or whatever it is at the time of its naming, because it seems to change all the time. But
yeah,
it would still be nice to take an early trophy, especially if we do it with a bunch of our young guys that we're sending out there. That would be a nice little addition.
Yeah, and I think with, you know, there are six very good teams in the Premier League at the moment, and there are only four trophies, that's including the Champions League. You're far from guaranteed to win a trophy every single year now. That's just the fact of life of being one of the top teams in the Premier League who are expected to win trophies year in, year out. It's an unrealistic expectation, especially for Arsenal, given their many, many shortcomings. Let's take a dive into this game then. First thing I want to bring up is the partnership of Callum Chambers and Rob Holding at the back. West Ham had one shot in the game. It was an Aaron Cresswell free kick that wasn't very good. It wasn't on target. I think I remember David Ospina making one catch from a cross. I'm sure he made more, but
he
really
made two
don't.
Catches.
He
just
made two catches. Yes. I mean, what a busy man. Really, West Ham offered very, very little. And while that is in part due to their ineptitude going forward, especially without Arnautovic and Antonio and Lanzini, there should be great praise given to the partnership of Chambers and Holding it at centre half. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, in the player ratings, I gave man of the match to Callum Chambers, and Rob Holding wasn't far behind, because you know we see so much of our defense in the Premier League and how it struggled. So even in the Carabao Cup, to see our two young Englishmen who are presumably the future of this defense doing as well as they did, I think it, you know, for as boring as the game was, that was a really nice thing to be able to see. And there was one instance in particular, it was pretty early on, there was an aerial duel, and Chicharito thought it'd be a good idea to throw himself into Callum Chambers, and instead of accomplishing whatever he hoped to accomplish, he ended up crumpled on the ground, writhing, and Callum Chambers was glaring over him, staring down at him, wondering what the hell he expected to happen. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that I want to see a lot more of. And I think that, you know, one of the cool things about their partnership is they both kind of have this mean mentality. We've seen Holding be that way against Diego Costa, and we've seen Callum Chambers now sort of take that on as well. And I wonder if that's not something that our senior guys could learn from, because I don't think teams fear Nacho Monreal. I mean, he's a nice guy. He's a good defender, but I don't think he's a menacing presence. And I like that Chambers and Holding are kind of, I mean, assuming this is what they're trying to do, they're kind of building this menacing mentality back there where they're not just physically dominant, they're also sort of winning the mental dominance as well.
yeah, there was a real confidence and assurance to their performance tonight, wasn't there?
We all recorded this
straight after the game. I think that was, for me anyway, that was the most pleasing element of their displays, was the mental surety that they had, especially in their decision making. Whenever they chose to press the ball, they did so with certainty. Whenever they chose to drop off or cover a run into the channels, whenever they chose to play the offside trap or go and win a header, whatever they did it with real conviction. They knew exactly what they were doing and they knew why they were doing it. And I think probably it's been a fair criticism to level at both that they have been a little hesitant in their reading of the game and then their execution of whatever needs to be done because of what they see in front of them. Whereas tonight, I think they were much, much better in that element of their game. Given that Koscielny is now the wrong side of 30, and he's looking like it as well,
yeah,
and Per Mertesacker is set to retire at the end of the season, Arsenal do need a future at centre-half. Nacho Monreal, for all of his reliability, is not a centre-half. And other than Skodran Mustafi, there aren't really many younger options in the squad. So do you think that one of Holding or Chambers or both could establish them as the week-in, week-out Premier League starter, perhaps from next season or the season after?
I would hope the sooner the better, honestly, because our defense is old. And like you said, they're finally showing that age. I don't think they have in previous years. And yeah, I would think that both of them could work into the Premier League. I would like to think that they could do it this year if Arsene Wenger will give them the chance. I mean, he gave Maitland-Niles the chance, so why not give... I mean, Holding has already had chances, and I think he proved himself pretty well, especially early on. But it's Chambers who I think hasn't had a fair chance, really, especially after he returned from loan from Middlesbrough, which was a defense that was anchored by him, and even despite getting relegated, their defense was still one of the best in the Premier League, and a lot of credit there goes to Chambers. But he's been, I think this is only his second start at center back, because they used him on as wing back, and he's been recovering from an injury.
Right wing back.
Where he belongs. And you know, I don't want to blow this out of proportion, but in the two times I've seen him play center back, granted it was against BATE Borisov and a very, very tame West Ham, I don't remember him making a mistake or leaving me in a position where I thought, oh God, he's going to do something stupid. I felt fully confident with him back there, and I'd like to see that tested in the Premier League, especially when he's in at the top of his game, which I think he might be right now. It's just the problem is I don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it is something that I would like to see also. There's just a lot of competition in the squad, and Wenger has always preferred experience down the spine of his team. Whenever he's introduced young players, he's often introduced them at fullback or out wide. He likes to have people who have played a lot of games either at centre-half or centre midfield or leading the line. He's been very hesitant to play players in their natural positions if those natural positions are down the middle. He would rather shift them out wide. You know, we've seen that with Trubor Akpom, we've seen that with Ainsley Maitland-Niles this year, we see it with Reece Nelson as well. He wants to play them on those kind of periphery positions rather than the anchor positions of the team. And I wonder if that is playing on his mind a little bit in regards to Chambers and Holding in the Premier League. We've seen, obviously, when Mustafi's been absent, he's turned to the experience of Per Mertesacker, and perhaps that's because of the position that they're playing as much as the quality of the individual players. It's certainly something to keep an eye on as the season transpires. A couple of notes of news. Olivier Giroud limped off with what was a clear pulled hamstring. Again, these type of injuries usually are 3 weeks, something like that. Aaron Ramsey obviously will miss. It will probably end up being about a month, I reckon. Do you reckon that's about right?
Yeah, probably. It's a shame because people were already talking on Twitter about how, well, this means that Lacazette can get 90 minutes. And I mean, to a certain extent, yeah, that if you want to think positively, you could think that way. But as you pointed out before the show, that does not mean that he'll get 90 minutes. There's still Welbeck. There's still Walcott. This is Arsene Wenger.
Wenger will find a way.
He will always find a way.
He is relentless in his substitution of stars.
I think that this injury is going to hurt us much more than we think it will. Especially because it's the Christmas period. I mean, we're ready. I definitely think we're feeling the strain of Aaron Ramsey not being there. And Drew's not as big of a presence. But having that second striker to fall back on to give you a different avenue to score is a big deal. And not having that is not going to be easy to get over.
Yeah, the congestion of the fixtures is really beginning to pile up now. So Giroud's absence will be hard felt. I have a feeling he probably will have started one of the games during the Christmas period, perhaps the Thursday night game against Crystal Palace. I know last year this was the time when he broke into the team, wasn't it? I think his first start was against West Brom on Boxing Day, I have a feeling. I could be wrong about that. But this was kind of the time of the year where he began to establish himself as Arsenal's starting centre forward, and I have a little bit of a hesitation about Lacazette starting every single game. He's a bit smaller. He's still adapting to the Premier League, and it does take time to adapt to English football. And there may be possibility of another injury for him, which, if Giroud is out for 3 to 4 weeks, would be absolutely disastrous for Arsenal. Really, it would see Theo Walcott start as a
don't say forward. It. Don't say it.
Yeah. And Coughlan's injury as well. While he's not had as prominent a role in the Premier League this year, he is still a dependable player that Wenger trusts and has trusted over a number of years. And I think that, you know, you start to lose these players and the numbers become depleted, and suddenly you're relying on players to play games every 2, 3, 4 days. And fatigue begins to set in. We've seen this before with Arsenal, where their squad just gets absolutely decimated by injuries. And it's not just key players, it's the squad players as well that can come in. And suddenly you're playing the same players every game, and tiredness and kind of, you know, heavy legs begin to take their toll. Let's end our discussion of the West Ham game, because it was pretty boring, so there's not that much to talk about. Let's just discuss the Carabao Cup in general. Manchester City won on penalties tonight, thanks to Jamie Vardy and Riyad Mahrez missing theirs. Although, I think Vardy scored a penalty to take it to extra time the first place, didn't he? So,
yes.
You know, you win some, you lose some, I guess, don't you?
Yeah.
It would have been nice for City to have been out of the competition, given the strength of their squad. I know that Pep Guardiola played quite a weakened team, and it still had Bernardo Silva and Gabriel Jesus and Phil Foden, who I absolutely love. It still had all these players in, so they will not be an easy out for Arsenal whatsoever in the semi-finals, especially over two legs. But this is a competition that Arsenal can win, and like we were saying earlier in the programme, given the competition that is at the top of the Premier League at the moment, that is something that should not be underestimated, really, should it?
No, not at all. I mean, I think back to the FA Cup last year, and people want to downplay the FA Cup, but the teams we had to go through to win that FA Cup were like the top of the Premier League table. They were Man City, they were Chelsea.
And Chelsea, yeah.
Yeah, and if we're going to win the EFL Cup, we're going to have to go through a very similar cast. We're going to have to go through City, Chelsea, and I'm going to go ahead and say Bristol City, because I don't see Manchester United. So you really can't take it for granted. It's I mean, there's always going to be that hierarchy of trophies, but so long as the competition in that in the tournament is at the level that it is now, it needs to be taken seriously.
Yeah, if someone was to offer you a Carabao Cup trophy and a top four finish at the end of the year, would you take it?
Yes, absolutely.
With no FA Cup or Europa League.
Oof, I didn't even think about the Europa League. Honestly, I still would, because the objective is to just get back in the Champions League. That's what we need. And if we do that through the top four, that's wonderful. And if we take a trophy along the way, obviously we need to win a trophy this year, FA Cup, League Cup. I would take either one of them in a top four finish.
Yep.
Would you?
Yep. Yeah, I think so. Obviously, the Carabao Cup, League Cup, Coca-Cola Cup, whatever you want to call it. It's been called everything under the sun. I think it was called the Worthington's Cup in the early noughties, I think, to remember from my childhood, and the Carling Cup, obviously. It's not the most important trophy. Of the four, it is the least significant for me. But actually, as I've said all program, there are six good Premier League teams. The Europa League is far from simple. Arsenal are not guaranteed a trophy anymore. That's just the nature of the beast, unfortunately. They do not have any divine right to win either the FA Cup or the league title or whatever every single season. They're just more good teams playing at a high level, and they cannot take something like a Carabao Cup for granted. I would like to see them go for it, actually. I'd like to see Wenger perhaps not play his full strength 11, but I'd like to see perhaps players like Monreal, Bellerin begin to start and play a kind of half and half, slightly stronger team. I don't think he will do that. I think he'll continue with the reserve team that he has been playing, but I wouldn't be against that at all. It'd be nice for Wenger to pursue a trophy that he's yet to win.
No, I agree with that, yeah.
Let me ask you, is there anything else you want to discuss about this game before we take a break and move on to the Friday night lights of Liverpool coming to North London?
I did just want to say, I think the midfield did their end of the bargain too. It's not a bunch of showstoppers when you put in a young Willock, Coughlin and Elneny, but they all did their jobs very well, and I think that's saying something towards what this formation could potentially do at the Premier League level.
Yeah, they are the quintessential solid squad players, aren't they? Especially yes. Elneny and Coughlin.
The ultimate squad players.
Which is important. Which
no,
is,
it definitely is. Yeah.
Which is that should not be overlooked at all. Right, we will take a short interlude, and after the break we will look forward to Liverpool's coming to the Emirates, which is not going to be pretty.
Yes, it will be.
It's not going to be pretty at all. I'm sorry to warn you. I've got my uncle coming for Christmas, and he is a massive Liverpool fan. So we've stuck a fiver on the game, and I am going to be giving him that fiver on Christmas morning. We will see you just in a sec after the break. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our rundown of the most boring game of football that I have ever had the displeasure of watching. On to a much more interesting fixture. Liverpool come to the Emirates on Friday night. And, let's be honest. This is an absolutely massive game for Arsenal. They are, I would say they're out of the title race. Is that right? I know you're pretty optimistic, but...
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but I would say they are.
Yeah, me too. And City are just remarkable this year. But that does not mean that the Premier League is over. Obviously, there are seven teams fighting for the top four. Can't forget Burnley. And the top four will be competitive this year. It's far from guaranteed for the Gunners. And this will be a huge game in determining whether it is a good likelihood that they can force their way back into the Champions League qualification or not. They currently sit 1 point behind Liverpool. They obviously got pummeled at Anfield 4-0 earlier in the year in one of the worst performances in a long time, but to be honest, given Arsenal's away performances against the top six, it's probably just the worst performance since last year, isn't it? So Liverpool come to the Emirates, a place that Arsenal have been excellent at. They've only lost one game there all year, which was the 3-1 loss to Manchester United. Obviously a game that, certainly going by the pattern of it, was one that Arsenal should have won, really.
Yeah.
So how do you see this one going down, just very generally speaking?
Oh, you know, everybody that wants to point back to that first matchup with Liverpool, I feel like it's that game is so out of context because I'm going to eat my words for saying this, but I feel like it was a completely different club back then. In that there was hardly any fight. I mean, we had Oxlade-Chamberlain going for a stroll. He didn't give a shit what happened. and I don't think it wasn't a game that struck me as defining of what Arsenal was capable of. Because I don't know. And ever since that match happened, I kept telling myself, wait till Liverpool come to the Emirates, because I really do think that Arsenal can lay the hurt on them, for lack of a better word. I think they really can stick it to them. And I think, you know, especially since their offense, their attack really hasn't clicked well lately, I think Liverpool is not going to defend all that well. And there are going to be plenty of chances. That's how it was supposed to be the first time. We didn't exactly follow through on that end of the bargain the first time. But I think this time, things are different. We've got Ozil looking majestic as ever. I mean, Alexis, as much as I downplay what he's doing for us, he really is still trying incredibly hard, and it's not like his shots are missing by all that much. It'll only take one goal to get him back into form. You know, I feel like I've said this every podcast, but I feel like at times when you really count out Arsenal is when they really step up.
And I think that front three of Ozil, Alexis, Lacazette, you put that up against any defence and they'll cause problems. You put that up against Liverpool's defence, which is famously terrible, then I think that those problems can be accentuated and even more. I mean, Liverpool have conceded the same amount of goals as Arsenal this year, both conceding 20, which is not very good, really. 8 more than the Manchester clubs, for example. And I think if Arsenal are to have success, it's probably through scoring more goals rather than conceding less goals. I can't see how... I mean, that was a really stupid thing to say. Of course, of course, they've got to score more goals than the opposition to win. I remember Michael Owen said that on
BT Sport. I was just thinking of that.
me and my Michael Owen impersonations. I think my point really is that Arsenal aren't going to win this game 1-0, really. I just can't see how Liverpool don't score at least one, if not two goals. Realistically, I think they have to go and really take the game to Liverpool, play with that high tempo that they did against Spurs and against Manchester United, really press the ball high up the pitch and try and suffocate the game from being on the front foot right from the very first whistle. Would you like to see Wenger and his players take that approach, or would you rather than be a bit more conservative and a bit more reserved?
No, you can't be conservative against Liverpool because, I mean, like you already mentioned, you're going to beat them in the defense. You're not going to stop their attack. I mean, you got Coutinho, Salah, Mane, and I'll throw Firmino in there, even though I don't think he's been in his best form this year. That's, I mean, like you said, our attack can beat just about any defense. There's Ken too. I don't think you set up with the goal of stopping them. I think you set up with the goal of outdoing them on that, because that's their strength and that's our strength, honestly. I mean, we don't have the defensive presence. Even if Mustafi's back, we don't have that kind of defense that can stop them. Now, if we do, that would you know, no one's gonna. I guess if you would rather see a 4-0 win or a 7-3 win, I would prefer the 4-0.
Yeah.
Just because I think our defense is the big question. But you know, we'll have to see. I can't imagine Arsene Wenger taking a conservative approach,
especially at home.
Yeah, and I mean, even when we went to City, I don't think we played that conservatively. We clearly didn't when Manchester United came. So yeah, I don't think you'll have to worry about that. I think this is going to be one of those end-to-end affairs that just keeps the action on.
I hope not. I think for the most part, the team kind of picks itself. You could tell from the players that didn't play against West Ham in the Carabao Cup are the ones that will play at the weekend. really the only position of uncertainty at this moment in time. Obviously, we're speaking on Tuesday night, so there could be injuries or something that happens in the week. But at the moment, the real question is the centre-half and left-back positions, that primarily being impacted by Shkodran Mustafi's anticipated return. He was actually in training last week. I think on Friday he returned. And Wenger said that he could be in contention for the Newcastle game, though it would be a little bit of a risk. He obviously chose not to take that risk. But I think after a week's worth of training, Wenger will be happy to thrust Mustafi back into the starting lineup alongside Koscielny. If that is the case, do you think that Monreal will play left back? Obviously, Kolasinac started against West Ham on Tuesday, so perhaps his days as the Premier League starter, at least for now, are coming towards an end.
Yeah, and this is what I worry about, because I think that our centre backs can cope with Firmino just fine. Like I said, he doesn't bother me all that much. It's Salah, it's Mane that bother me, and you know Salah is arguably the best player in the Premier League right now. And if the big question is who you'd rather have at left back facing him, and to me at least, it was Kolasinac, because at the very least, if Kolasinac does get beat, he takes the guy down with him and doesn't let him continue. I mean, Maitland-Niles, there's no way he's going to put Maitland-Niles out there on an island against Salah. So I think it's got to be Monreal, and that worries me because Monreal doesn't have the pace to keep up. I think he's intelligent enough that he's not just going to be burnt toast all game, but I do think Monreal will be out there, and that does not fill me with a lot of confidence.
And I think Monreal's biggest weakness in the past has been speedy wingers, because naturally he doesn't have the athleticism to keep up. I know Wilfried Zaha's given him a run around a couple of times. I think Aaron Lennon gave him some trouble once.
He did, yep.
I mean, they're not brilliant players. They're just quick. And if you put them in space up against Monreal in one-on-one, he can have real trouble. Adama Traore for Middlesbrough really gave him the runaround. You put Mohamed Salah in a one-on-one situation with Nacho Monreal, and it's not something that I'm especially confident in. And actually, I'd say Monreal's been one of, if not the best Arsenal player this year. He's been extremely consistent playing in that left-sided centre-half role. He's been experienced, he's been composed, he's led as a character and as a communicator. But if you put him out where there's more space to defend as a natural fullback rather than a centre-half, does he still have that turn of speed to mark a player of Salah's quality and quickness? I'm not sure. Having said that, I don't think Kolasinac would necessarily be able to defend all that well against him either. I think you're right, his added power would give an element of advantage to him, but really, I don't think it would be that substantial. I just think Arsenal probably just got to drink the poison with Mohamed Salah and make sure that they have a midfielder, whether it be Sanchez or whether it be the left-sided centre midfielder, perhaps Jack Wilshere. Just make sure that they're always aware of the threat of Salah on the break and try and double him up as much as possible. Obviously, that's not necessarily going to be easy to do. Let's look at a few key individual matchups for this game. I think the most important one is Granit Xhaka. Primarily, will be up against Philippe Coutinho, assuming they both start in that kind of free-roaming, drifting attacking midfield role that he's so dangerous in. I think Roberto Firmino will also enter the equation at this point, given that while he does play as a striker, it's clearly as a false number nine type position. He drifts around, and if Xhaka isn't aware of his presence, he could very well end up in two or three on one situations in those midfield positions that can then carve Arsenal open with great ease. We've seen it before, not just from Liverpool, but from other clubs as well. Is that the area that you are most concerned about with this Arsenal team?
Yeah, for as much praise as I give Xhaka unreservedly, I do worry about his ability to put up with such high speed.
I think it's the agility, the balance, and the quickness that is especially concerning, isn't it?
Yeah, I will say, though, we talked about this last time. Usually, he's pretty good if he understands the tempo of the game from the start. It's whenever it starts to change that I think he loses it. That said, I think this is an exception because the speed that Liverpool attack with isn't going to be something that he naturally copes with. And I really wonder what the instructions for him are going to be because, I mean, we've seen plenty of times he's not a defensive midfielder. He's not a ball winner, especially, you know, I don't think we've seen him. I mean, last time out against Newcastle, I think he was good defensively, but they don't have the threats that Liverpool do. And I think it all comes down to what Arsene Wenger expects him to do. I think if you ask something kind of modest of him, say, you know, just keep the ball, don't make any rash challenges, don't put yourself in danger of being sent off, I think he can have a good enough game to not be a liability. But this is speaking from eternal optimism.
Josh, living up to his name. I think it will be very interesting to see who Arsene Wenger plays alongside Granit Xhaka. It seems to be that Jack Wilshere will play in there. Now, does he play Mesut Ozil as one of the front three, or does he play Ozil as one of the midfield three? Obviously, there's Alex Iwobi, who has started the last couple of games. Perhaps, and this is a possibility that I wouldn't be against whatsoever, he chooses to put Ainsley Maitland-Niles in midfield with Wilshere and Xhaka, just to add that little bit of range and that little bit of pace to deal with the threat that Liverpool have in their kind of quick fizzing passing, their really interchangeable fluid movement. That might not be an idea that is especially mainstream, but it could be something that might pay dividends for Arsenal. I think it's important that Wenger put some legs in there for Xhaka, because physically, his movement is far from what is required to deal with what is an extremely sharp Liverpool attack. And if he puts Mesut Ozil and Jack Wilshere alongside him, will he be exposed in a one-on-four situation again when they bomb forward a little bit recklessly, maybe get caught the wrong side of the ball and Xhaka's all on his own? They're all questions that we will find the answer out to in due course. I do think it will be interesting to see what Wenger does, though. What would you like to see him do, and what do you think he will do?
I think he's a creature of habit that's going to send Xhaka and Wilshere and Iwobi. Although, I think it does need to be said that whoever he sends alongside Xhaka and in front of Xhaka, it's all so fluid that no matter who, I think it's just, I mean, optimistically, I like to say, I think it's just the players realize if they're having a better defensive day or attacking day, and they adjust accordingly. It's probably just a matter of where they are at any given moment. But I do think that Wenger's going to ask of everybody to defend Ozil, Alexis, Iwobi, Wilshere, however he lines them up. I think they're all going to be tasked with tracking back and at the very least sticking with somebody, because I mean, there's a lot of people on Liverpool that can attack. They've got five guys that can lead that attack. I'm not going to include Henderson because he can't. But I think
Jambo.
This is...
Jambo.
What?
Jambo.
I forgot about him. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Really, but...
Oxlade-Chamberlain revenge game. He's to his credit, I mean, he struggled early on, but he has looked a little bit better. He played quite well in the Merseyside derby.
Yeah.
And I don't think he will play on Friday, but Klopp has been willing to... You know, he played Dominic Solanke in the Merseyside derby as well, so he has been willing to ring the changes, even in high-pressure Premier League games as well. So perhaps we'll see Chamberlain back at the Emirates.
I do think this is a match where we're going to miss Ramsey, just because we're going to need that energy. And I like Iwobi. I think a lot of him, but I don't think he has that energy. I don't think he's not going to be box-to-box. He's not going to be, you know, tracking the ball everywhere. Having Ramsey and Wilshere would have been ideal, but here we are, we don't have them, so no point talking about it.
I mean, I would temper that slightly with the fact that Ramsey was hauled off at half-time last time for being completely ill-disciplined with his positioning.
Yes, so, but remember, last time I said was a poor reflection of this Arsenal club. Yeah. Who they really are.
I do agree. I would say a disciplined Ramsey is what Arsenal will miss. If they get an if they would have got an ill-disciplined Ramsey, I don't think they'll miss him at all. But certainly the Ramsey of the last few weeks would have been a great help for this team. That's the role that Jack Wilshere must now play. And this is a huge game for him in terms of his credibility with the national media. Can he perform at the highest level when it matters most? This is where he can begin to build that World Cup case. If he plays as his talent suggests he can play against a good Liverpool team, then maybe he can begin pushing Gareth Southgate for inclusion in that squad next summer. Let's end the discussion of Arsenal's defence against Liverpool's attack with the wide threat. We've discussed Monreal against Salah down the left-right flank. I think Bellerin against Mane on the other side, assuming that both start, which I think is a fair assumption to make. Is that, again, another cause for concern, or are you more comfortable with Bellerin in that position?
The only reason I'm more comfortable is because he's so much quicker, and I don't think there's anybody. Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that can really leave Bellerin behind because of his recovery speed. That said, in order for him to use his recovery speed, it's going to be because he's either caught out of position or because he's been dribbled around, neither of which is a good position. But I think that that's just something that we have to accept is going to happen. There are going to be moments where Mane and Salah have freedom on their flanks and we're playing catch-up. And I have far much more faith in Bellerin than Monreal to play that catch-up. Bellerin hasn't had his best year, but I think a lot of the problems he's had have come on the attacking end. I haven't had much problem with his defense. It's not been the greatest defensive season ever, but a lot of that criticism has come from his inability to put a final ball into the box.
To cross.
Yeah, his crossing's terrible. But when it comes to defending, he's competent. He's not going to get shown up. He's not going to be made a fool. And if he does, then like I said, he's got that recovery speed to mitigate the damage.
Yeah, I think the problem with Bellerin is he could get caught too far up the pitch, which against the counter-attack that Liverpool are excellent at putting together with real speed. I remember Salah and Mane scored a brilliant goal against Brighton, I think it was, from a Brighton corner, where they basically played 1-2s all the way up the pitch, and it took them about 10 seconds to get from one box to Salah scoring. And it was a really blistering attack. And I think Bellerin, more than Monreal, is more likely to be caught out of position in that circumstance. Say if Arsenal give the ball away poorly in midfield, Bellerin could find himself out of position. Obviously, he has the speed to recover, but if Liverpool are able to score within 10 seconds of getting the ball, I don't think it matters how quick you are. You're not going to be able to get back in that short space of time. But I am slightly more confident is the wrong phrase, less worried about Bellerin than Monreal, but it's only marginal. Let's flip over to Arsenal's attack, specifically Alexander Lacazette. I think he had a poor game against Newcastle for the most part, especially in his finishing. We discussed that on the previous episode, which you can go check out. But this is a defence that will offer him opportunities, especially given his movement. He will be able to slip the attentions of Dejan Lovren and Clavan and whoever starts in that centre-half partnership, maybe Joel Matip. Do you think that this is Arsenal's primary avenue of success through Lacazette and his movement up against those two centre-halves?
I would hope so. I mean, I think we're still waiting for that big breakout game from Lacazette. And part of that comes down to Arsene Wenger never giving him the damn chance to have a breakout game. But but I do think part of that comes down to... I would like to think that this is a kind of game, like against United, where Arsene Wenger will understand, depending on how the game goes, that he needs Lacazette out there. There are so many other games where he should have understood that. But hopefully, against Liverpool, he'll leave him out there for the 90 minutes. And I do think that he is going to be the primary threat. I think that him and Ozil are starting to build up a nice rapport with each other. Especially, you know, against Newcastle, he wasn't very good. His finishing wasn't good. I think his runs were still good. And I think the main reason why they were is because they were finally being picked out. And I think Ozil was picking a lot of them out. So I'd like to see that continue. I'd obviously love to see Alexis manage to put together a good match, because it's been so long since we've seen him at his best. But if it's going to happen, this is a really good time for it to happen, because we've faced so many teams that have sat deep and had 6, 7, 8 guys behind the ball. No matter who you have, that's really hard to break down. Liverpool, with the attack that they have, we're going to have times where we don't have that many people between us and the goal. We might have just the back four, maybe Jordan Henderson in there too. It's not going to be as bothering, or it's not going to be as troublesome to find space.
Yeah, and that's an important point to make, I think, especially for somebody like Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez, where they play in those kind of, they're starters wingers, but really they move all throughout the pitch. There will be those pockets of space that actually will be quite large pockets of space on the counter-attack, or even just in general play. Obviously Klopp has been, if he plays a front three of Mane, Salah and Firmino and Coutinho in behind, he's only got two holding midfielders, one of which is likely to be Jordan Henderson, and the other might be, say, Wijnaldum or Emre Can or something. I think they are get-at-able with Arsenal's fluid front three, very much like Liverpool can buzz in and around Granit Xhaka. I think Arsenal can do exactly the same to Henderson and Can and whoever Klopp chooses to play in that position. And that space is something that Arsenal have not had really for a long, long time. Probably it was the Spurs game, maybe, or the City game was probably the last time they had it. And actually it's quite a rare thing in the general season. Even Manchester United played a very defensive strategy in sitting deep and compacting that space in front of the penalty area. So that is an important point to make, and it's something that could open up Arsenal's attack in general.
And I think if you go back to that Tottenham game, you will... That was a game where we were supposed to be overrun in the midfield. They had Eriksen, they had Ali, they had all these guys that were supposed to be able to take it to us, and it didn't happen. It was the complete opposite. We overran them. And I wonder if that might be the same thing here, where their midfielders, their attackers get so far forward that we have the numbers, especially in the counterattack. So that'll be an interesting development to keep an eye on.
Yeah. One last question. Do you think there's a chance that Wenger goes to three at the back with Mustafi coming back?
I thought about that briefly. But then the one thing holding me back is I don't think he would put Maitland-Niles out there. I don't know. It wouldn't make Wenger sense. It doesn't seem like something he would do, especially because we've been building up with the back four lately. It seems like this is something that he's had an eye on, and that he should be relatively pleased with the results. I mean, it seems like it's getting better. And I think that if he was going to stick, or if he was going to revert to the back five, or to the back three with the two wing backs, I think he would have kept Kolasinac out there, because he's been the go-to wing back. I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put anything past Wenger. I could see him doing absolutely anything, because that's just how he is. But no, I don't think he will go back to the back three. Not yet.
No, I don't think he will either. But I wonder if the return of Mustafi does throw that thought into his mind. He is, on a number of occasions, gushed about that back three of Koscielny, Mustafi, Monreal. And I wonder if he sees those three as capable of providing that defensive structure against a very dangerous Liverpool attack. And he errs towards that way of setting up. It will be something that we find out in due course. Unfortunately, well, perhaps fortunately, but me and Josh have absolutely no impact on the Arsenal team whatsoever, so...
It is unfortunate. If we pick the starting 11, well, first of all, we'd leave Lacazette out there for the full 90, so there you go. We've already made our positive impact.
Yeah, so really, Wenger should be listening to us. Although, Olivier Giroud would probably get more playing time as well, which is, you know, maybe not a good thing. Is there anything else you want to discuss about this Liverpool game?
No, it's kind of one of those games where I just want to stop talking about it and get to it so we can see what happens.
Yeah, get to Arsenal's absolute pummeling.
No.
Actually, let's, before we wrap up, this should be a little bit of a shorter program given the kind of nature of the fixtures at the moment. Let's just have a score prediction from you, Again, it could range from a 4-0 loss to a 4-0 win and anything in between, I think, couldn't it? But
it could.
If you were to shut your eyes and throw a dart at the board, what would you pick?
Oh, I'm going to say... Oh, this! I even saying it in my head, this sounds crazy. I'm going to say that we win by a score of 5-2.
Oh gosh,
I'm remarkably confident in this prediction, even though I don't. We should be keeping track of who gets closest with their score predictions.
We should. I mean, we collectively we say some very stupid things on this program.
Oh, of course. That's what we're here for.
That may be the most stupid of them all.
Oh, come on.
I will.
If they can beat us 4-0, we can absolutely beat... They're not that much better than us. Look at the table. They're one point better than us.
Yeah, one point better than us.
I mean, even giving them a goal on aggregate. They're still going to have the one.
Yeah. I mean, they are very similar teams. They're brilliant going forward, and they're terrible at the back.
And I think they're even more terrible at the back than we are. But then again, I bet they're a little bit better going forward than we are. But
yeah, well, anyway, we'll find out.
Your prediction.
I will go for a 2-2 draw, a thrilling 2-2 draw, and Granit Xhaka is going to get sent off.
No, why would you? Why you didn't have to add that? You could have just kept going.
He's gonna get a stupid yellow for an over aggressive foul in the first half, and then around about the 60th minute. Mohamed Salah is going to break away from him and he's going to cynically bring him down and take the yellow and the red.
Are you writing this down so when it happens you can gloat over it?
No, but obviously we'll have the recording, so...
Oh, that's when, true, yes.
When... clever thinking from Josh there. So when Arsenal win 5-2, you can gloat over it. And when they draw 2-2 and Granit Xhaka gets sent off, I can do exactly the same.
I don't know why it was necessary to bring Xhaka into this.
This game's going to be 0-0 somehow, isn't it?
Somehow.
It's going to be a boring 0-0 draw. I think, I mean, I say this slightly prematurely, but I think that's the one score that we can guarantee.
Yeah.
This game will not be, given the respective strengths and weaknesses of both sides. Let's wrap up there, I think. Should we wrap up there?
Yeah, we got two very different predictions for the game and plenty to look for.
Oh, gosh.
You dreading it. I'm excited about it.
I've got that kind of nervous excitement. I am excited about it. It's more the fact that I know my uncle's coming on Christmas and I had the absolute misery of watching the 4-0 loss with him in the room.
Ooh.
So that was... That was bad enough. If we lose again at home, then it won't be the happiest of Dowdwell households on Christmas Day. But there we go, a little peek into our private lives there. Let's wrap this up then before I get loopy. You can find us at paininthearsenal.com. You can find us both on Twitter. You can find Pain in the Arsenal on Twitter as well. Just give us a search. Thank you for listening. This is now our all nine episodes. This is our ninth episode. Is that right?
That is correct.
Nine episodes. So we're beginning to build up a little library. Please go check us out on iTunes and Stitcher and wherever you get your podcast from. Give us a rating and review, especially if you like us. Yes, positive ones are helpful for us. And if you have any questions for us, get in contact with us on Twitter or Facebook. We will endeavour to answer them all on the programme as accurately or stupidly as we may feel. So, thank you very much for listening. We will see you next week after Arsenal's 5-2 win
That's
over Jurgen
right.
Klopp's Liverpool. Goodbye.